Well, hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. It is good to be with you. I always look forward to our times together. They are such a blessing for me. They help me in my walk, in my relationship with the Lord. Just the opportunity for us to meet together with the Lord, to hear from His Word, hear from Him and His Word, to meet with Him in prayer. It is a blessing for me. And I pray that these times are a blessing for you as well, that they help you in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord, that you look forward to them as much as I do. And again, I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible, because, again, we are blessed to be able to meet together like this with God and His Word. Well, I hope as you're watching this that you're having a wonderful day where you are. I know as I'm filming this, I'm actually starting to film a little bit early because of the coming celebration of our Lord's birth, be taking some time off. But whenever it is that you're watching this, I hope that you are having a wonderful day in terms of the weather and also in terms of your circumstances and most of all your relationship with the Lord. As I filmed this today, it had rained earlier this morning before daybreak, and that's cleared, but it is quite windy and quite cool outside. So be filming again inside. But again, whether we're inside or outside, the best part about this is the fact that we get to meet with our Lord. And so as we come together, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O Lord, for this day that you've given to us. Lord, the rain you've provided. Lord, just the beauty of your creation at work. Father, thank you for drawing us to yourself here, Lord, at whatever time it is that we're watching this. Father, thank you that you desire to speak to us and you want us to know you. Lord, calm us and still us. Father, help us to become quiet and still before you from all the running that we possibly have been doing, and help us to hear from you. Open our minds and our hearts, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, once more, we come to the book of Psalms, and we'll be in Psalm 62 today, and I think one of the reasons that we believers like the book of Psalms so much is that it addresses everyday life issues. Sure, as you open the book of Psalms, you see a tremendous amount of theology there. And you see a lot of prophecy. And you see a lot of prophecy in particular about our Lord and His coming and even future in His rule and in His reign, that we call those the Messianic Psalms. And so, yes, you see a lot of theology, you see a lot of prophecy, but it's amazing how that's always put into the context of what we would call everyday life and living. And as we look at the Psalms, we not only see that the wonderful theology, the prophecy, the doctrine, the truths, but we see how it applies to our everyday life and the real issues that we face in everyday life. And as we open this Psalm, we certainly see David's faith in everyday life and everyday issues. And it asks a very simple question, and that is, where can we go for help? Where can we really go when we are burdened, when we're worried, when we are facing a problem or problems, a crisis or crises? Where is it that we can go for help as we face problems and heartaches and difficulties and burdens? Well, this is exactly what David is facing as we open Psalm 62. And think with me as we read this psalm, and in David's heart is very much expressed, and his faith are very much expressed in this psalm. But you think about what we read in Psalm 62. My faith waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man, that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have been counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Men of low degree, are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they're together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, the power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. So we look at this passage, it's obvious that David is going through another difficult time. And as we look at this psalm, I want us to understand where David is at this point in his life. As we look at the psalm, first thing I want us to look at is the need for help. That is the need that David has for God's help. Look again at verses 3 through 4. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Now tradition can sometimes be right and tradition can sometimes be wrong. Tradition tells us that this was written during the rebellion of Absalom. Now we don't know that for certain, but it would certainly fit the context. And if that is the case, well, then it's obviously a time of great difficulty, not only for David, but for the nation. For what Absalom was doing was actually treason. It was actually a coup. And it certainly was a personal problem for David because his own life was in danger. And because if this is the rebellion of Absalom, then Absalom, his own son, is the one leading that coup. It is, in fact, a national problem because David is the king. An attack upon the king is an attack upon the nation, the government, the stability of the nation. It's obviously a spiritual problem for the nation and for all those involved because this rebellion against David is ultimately a rebellion against God. And so David here is facing a major problem for himself within his heart, in his role as king, as he looks at what's taking place in his nation. David has a tremendous need for God to work and move. And it may be as we read these verses that your situation might not be the same, obviously, but the burden that you feel may very well be very similar. You may be going through a time of great difficulty and heartache and heartbreak this day, at whatever point it is you're watching this. And it may be, you know, that involves you personally, or it may be that you see what's taking place with individuals that you know and love. You see what's taking place in their life. You see the ramifications throughout the circle with it, whether within your family or the church, or we look at our nation at large. We certainly see the need that we have for God. And we see that need that we have for those problems, in fact, to be dealt with. Where can we find help in dealing with those things? Well, it's interesting when you look at this psalm, one of the themes that you see is the inadequate sources of help. It's almost as if David makes a list of things that we could trust in besides God and shows us how each of them is in fact inadequate. And it's certainly true for David in this situation. Again, Absalom's rebellion would make sense. But it's also, you can see how it applies to you and your situation. What are these inadequate sources of help? Sources that we so often look to and look to first and yet can never really measure up for us. Well, you think about them. A, people. You think about what we read in verse 9. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. You know, no matter how low or high you look on the socioeconomic ladder and wherever individuals may be placed in that ladder, no matter who they are, there's only so much that they can do. We would think it's a given that those of low socioeconomic status can only help so much. That'd be a given. But sometimes we think about those who have, you know, money or prestige or prominence, and they can help a lot, and to be sure that they can. But there is a limit to what they can help. And this is not to take away from individuals who've helped us. I'm sure we all look at our life and look back on our life at individuals that God used at key points who helped us in some way. And we're deeply, deeply thankful unto them and thankful unto God for them. But we need to recognize that there is a limit to what they can do. They are not the unfailing source of solution for a problem or for a need. There are problems that go far beyond what they can do for us. People are an inadequate source of help. But then you think about the next one, B, self. You know, no matter what we can do or think we can do, there is a limit to how much we can really do. You think about verse 10, do not trust in oppression and do not vainly hope in robbery. Now, obviously, he's talking about us doing sinful things to solve our problems, but you think about the thought there. Even if we were to pull out all the stops, even if we were to allow ourselves to do anything to solve some situation, even if it is illegal or immoral, unethical, even if we were to remove those classifications and allow us to do anything to solve the problem, there would still be a limit as to what we could do. And this strikes at our pride because we like to think that we can handle it, that we're big enough, smart enough, clever enough to be able to handle it. But you know, the longer you live, the more you realize the things that you really cannot control, change, improve, and sometimes even handle on your own strength. We need to recognize that we are an inadequate source of help. But you know, it's not just people, and it's not just ourselves. But it's also, you think about riches. And this is one, you know, we tend to think, man, if we just had enough money, we could solve any problem. If that, you know, as we face some problem or situation, if I had just X amount, then I could solve this. Well, the problem is, and you probably have encountered, there are problems that you face in life that no matter how much you may have access to, it would not be enough to cover that. Especially the problems of the heart, especially the problems of relationships, especially the problems within families. Money really can't touch those. You think about what we see there in the latter part of verse 10. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Why not? Well, obviously, first of all, that'd be idolatry. You're worshiping and trusting something other than God. But in the immediate context, because there's only so much that finances, that money, riches can do. You will find problems. You will find situations that no amount of money on earth could solve that problem. Riches cannot always solve our problems. And so as we think about the inadequate sources of help, there's a limit to what people can do, there's a limit to what we can do, and there's a limit to what money can do. We need something more than those. Well, look at number 3, the sure source of help. Now, David made it clear what that source of help was right at the beginning of this psalm. You think about verses 1 and 2. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. He waits for God only. Why? Because only God can in fact be that rock, that salvation, that stronghold. And just so we don't miss the point, David comes back in verses 5 and 6. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. He comes back and says it again, just so that we will clearly see that he recognizes that God is his only real sufficient help. And then, just again, so we don't miss it, he states it again in a somewhat different way. Think about what we read in verse 7. On God my salvation and glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. God is the only one who can truly help us. Now, what is it about God that makes him worthy of our trust? What is it about God that makes his help so sure? Well, think about what we read in verses 11 and 12. Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. God is the source of all power. All power belongs to him. He is truly the Almighty, the unlimited God. Keep reading on into verse 12. His loving and loving kindness is yours, O Lord. You think of the never-ending loving kindness of God. The fact that he wants us to trust him. The fact that he invites us to come to him. The fact that he loves us with a love that is eternal, that is immeasurable, that is beyond comprehension. And he's kind to us in all that he does. His loving kindness makes him worthy of our trust and our reliance. And then we keep on reading. For you recompense a man according to his work. But the idea being there, the fact that God is personally involved in our lives. You know, we need to understand God is not merely up there. I'm not denying the fact that God is sovereign ruler over all. But we need to understand the nearness of God. We are never really alone. Sometimes we talk to someone and we'll say, well, a private conversation, just you and me. Well, it's never just you and that person. God is always personally, intimately involved in every single detail of our life. And because of his power, because of his loving kindness, because of his involvement, we can trust him. You know, no wonder Paul was able to say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No wonder he was able to encourage the church there at Philippi in that same book of Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, where he said, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs, that is, every need that you need of every single type, God will in fact provide. God is in fact the sure source of help. All those other things, people, our own ability, even money cannot solve our problems. We are before a God whom we can trust in everything. And I know it's very easy for us to read that and think, well, you know, that was David's experience. I mean, David was that great man of God. I mean, inspired by God to write so many of the book of Psalms, used by God in such a wonderful way. And all that is true. But we need to look at something else in this psalm, and that is, in fact, the invitation for help. The fact that this whole psalm is built around inviting us to seek God for help. You think about what we see. It's not in the true direct middle of the psalm, but it's pretty close to the middle of the psalm. You think about what we read in verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. David's experience, I'm not denying David's calling was unique. I'm not denying the closeness of David and had with God. I'm not taking and I'm not belittling David in any way. But in Psalms like this, David is not the exception. He's to be the example. And through him, God is telling us and inviting us to come before him and pour out our heart before him, because he will in fact be a refuge for us and how we ought to trust him. Now you think about that invitation, you think about it where you are. Could it be that you need to come before the Lord today and pour out your heart? Could it be that you need to trust him in the situation that you find yourself in? Do you need to rest in the refuge that is in fact God? You may be going through some very difficult circumstance in your life. God's invitation is for you to come to him and trust him. And in fact, to rest in him, to pour out your heart to him and see what he will do. This whole psalm was written to be an invitation for us, for you, especially if you're going through a difficult time today, to pour out your heart before God and trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God. Lord, for showing us, O Lord, all the things that we so often trust that aren't worthy of that trust. Father, whether it's other people, whether it's ourselves, whether it's riches, thank you for reminding us that you are the only real source of help and for inviting us to come to you. And Lord, I pray that every one of us this day will look to you for our help and our strength and our guidance. Father, especially those who are going through a very difficult time, may they, O God, take refuge in you. Let them know your loving kindness, O Lord, as they trust and wait upon you. Be with them in a special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the day. But even if you are going through a difficult time, I hope that you know more than anything the closeness, the fellowship of the Lord, and most of all, his trustworthiness, that you'll wait upon Him, trust Him, count upon Him, and let Him carry you through the difficult times, even those that you may be going through today. And I hope that in Him you have a great day.